First of all, I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight to listen to another sermon. I want to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to stand up here and preach another lesson. And the lesson I'm going to be preaching on tonight is called Why God Gave Man the Bible. God has a purpose in everything He does. He also has a purpose in giving man the Bible. And that purpose will be accomplished. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. In this lesson, we will explore some of the reasons God gave man the Bible. The first reason is to tell man that he is lost. If God had not given man the Bible, man would not know about heaven, hell, or sin, that he is lost, and that he has a need for a Savior. If man is not made aware that he is lost and in need of salvation, every effort to save him will be pointless. It's like a person with a physical illness. They must know of that illness and that they are in need of medical attention. The sinner must know of his spiritual sickness and see his need for salvation. Until one recognizes that he needs to be saved from his lost condition, he will never make the changes necessary in his life to effect his salvation. Sin dooms all man to be lost. And God created man as a pure and upright being. Go to Ecclesiastes 7:29. Behold, I have found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. When man disobeyed God and sinned, he was separated from God. Genesis 3:23-24. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed a cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. As sin separated the first man from God, sin separates us from God today. In Isaiah 59:1-2, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he does not hear. Man, because of his sins, is lost and doomed to eternal death. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Also in Matthew 25, verses 41-46, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire for which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And how would man have known this if God had not given him the Bible? Another reason that God has given man the Bible is to assure man that he desires all to be saved. And the Bible clearly states that it is his desire of God for all of us to be saved. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. This is a good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Truth, the Word of God, is his means of salvation. It is his power unto salvation. In Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." It has the power to free men from sin. In John 8:32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." It furnishes man with all he needs to know in relation to life and godliness. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." And also in 2 Peter 1:3, "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." In the Bible, one learns of the wonderful love God has toward mankind. His love allowed his son to die as a sacrifice for our sins. This kind of love shows God's intense desire for the salvation of every soul. The Bible reveals that Christ built his church to stand forever as a refuge for all who would obey him and become saved. In Matthew 16:18-19, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Every soul that is saved is added to it. Acts 2:47, "Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." The Bible shows people how they may become a part of Christ's church. Another reason that we have the Bible is to explain all he has done to save man. God created man as an intelligent being, and we are able to reason, to study, to understand. And he gave us the Bible to read and study so that we might learn and understand the way of salvation. The way of salvation. In the Old Testament, God chose Abraham to develop a nation of people. In Genesis 12:1-3, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." God cultivated and tutored that nation for hundreds of years, that through it he might bring the Savior, Jesus Christ, into the world. He blessed them when they were obedient, but severely punished them when they departed from the way. We know all this because God has given it to us in the Bible so we might benefit from it. In 1 Corinthians 10:7-11, "Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play, nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Nor these things happened to them as an example. And they were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come." Romans 15:4, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope." In the New Testament, one learns of the sacrificial death and the resurrection of Jesus, of the establishment of the church, that the Word of God has been given to serve as man's infallible guide in all that matters pertaining to life and godliness. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All this was done by God to save man from sin. Another reason that we have the Bible is to reveal the meaning of salvation. Many people today completely misunderstand, only partially understand the subject of salvation. God has revealed his way of salvation so that all may understand. In Ephesians 3, verses 1 to 5, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. As I wrote before you in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit." The Bible reveals the meaning of salvation. When we obey God's conditions, our sins are forgiven and are no longer remembered. The destiny of salvation. The end of the way of salvation is an eternal home in heaven with that crown of life. And the method of salvation. The method by which one is saved is belief and obedience in Jesus Christ. Another reason is to reveal what one must do to be saved. Since the beginning, God has always revealed what he desires of man. The Bible reveals that the principle which affects salvation has always been the same: to fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. Fear God and do what's right. Acts 10:34 and 35. Opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." God has revealed in the gospel what people must now do to be saved. We must obey Jesus Christ and his gospel. In Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, "Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." In order to be saved, one must hear the word of God. Romans 10, 17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Then we must believe. Mark 16, 16, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Then we must repent of our sins. Acts 2, 38, "Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then we must confess. Romans 10, 9, and 10, "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." Then we must be baptized. Acts 2:38. "Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then we must remain faithful. Revelations 2:10. "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have a tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Another reason that we were given the Bible is to reveal what one must do to remain saved. The Lord realized his disciples would need help to remain saved. He understands that we are surrounded by worldly influences, and that the temptations would be strong. He knew that the cares, the riches, and the pleasure of this world would tempt many to leave him. Jesus prayed to the Father in behalf of his disciples that God might sanctify them in truth. "Your word is truth." This prayer reveals how one may remain saved. To sanctify means to set apart, to be separate from the world. This is accomplished by the word of God. When one applies the word of God to himself and lives by it, he is in fellowship with both the Father and the Son and has salvation. One must keep the commandments of God and be One must keep the commands of God, being faithful even to the point of death, and he will receive the crown of life at the final day. So in conclusion, God's purpose in giving man the Bible is only fulfilled when each person learns its message and applies it to their lives so they can have the salvation of their souls. Have you obeyed the word of God so that you might have your sins forgiven and be saved? If you're not a child of God, you haven't obeyed it yet. We just went through the steps of salvation, what you need to do to become a child of God. And if you are a child of God and the worldly pleasures have tempted you and you fall into it, now's the time to get yourself right with God as together we stand and sing.